Are you thankful for God's amazing grace?
Yes.
Isn't that good? That song never gets old, does it? I mean, if it did, you wouldn't say so right now. I want to invite you to open your Bibles back to John 10. John chapter 10. And then also, if you can, find Psalm 22. And also, if you can, Ezekiel 34. Are you nervous? That's a lot, I know. John 10, Psalm 22, and Ezekiel 34. Just want to take a little time this afternoon to dig a little deeper. We do have business meeting, and I know we try to give ourselves some time to deal with those things that are good and necessary. But I wanted to draw your attention back to John 10 and something we read this morning, but we didn't really get to discuss any at all. So if you're able, let's stand together. John 10, 16. How many of you like to read? You just raise your hand if you enjoy reading. All right. So most of you, at least half. How many of you don't really like reading at all? Just see you. Okay. Just so I know. Audiobooks, you like those? No? Okay. Movies? Okay, we like to watch our stories instead of read them. Okay, something happens in our psyche when we read a story. Most of the time, we try to kind of identify with somebody in the story. And most of us, typically, some of you are weird, but, that's me. Most of the time, we read ourselves as the hero of the story. It's usually we're the hero when we're reading a story. If there's some kind of adventure going on, most of you don't read yourself like you're like Zach. If he reads a book, he's not the damsel in distress. Like he's the hero that comes in to save the day. Okay, pray for him. And sometimes when we read our Bibles, we every page we read, we tend to think that it's about us, and it's not always about us. Sometimes it's actually about somebody else. But I've got great news for you. A lot of what God did is for us, and because he loves us, because he's good to us. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to read John 10, verse 16. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather this afternoon. We pray for those who are not able to be here, that you'll give them grace. But God, we praise you for the day you've given us so far, the opportunity to gather, to study the word, to sing your praises, to have the time of preaching and the fellowship, and for Addie to be baptized and just everything. It's been so, so good, and we praise you. Lord, please bless our time this afternoon in your word. Give us wisdom as we conduct your business in a little while. And I just pray that everything we do would be to your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John 10:16 says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Amen. Please be seated. So we covered some of the details about what it means for us to be his sheep and for him to be our shepherd, how we have to hear his voice and he has to know us and we must follow him. But I wanted to point out to you that when Jesus was preaching this, he wasn't talking to Gentiles. He was speaking to the Jews of the day. And when they heard this, and it happened to them a lot, when Jesus would preach against the false doctrine, the bad teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees and others, that they got it. They knew he was talking about them. When he gave parables about the vineyard and when the master left the vineyard in charge of his servants, how they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and how when he sent servants to collect, how they beat them, and when he sent his son, they killed him. And they understood that he was talking about them. And so when we study this passage in John chapter 10, primarily Jesus is speaking to a Jewish audience, and he's saying that among the Jews there were some who were his sheep and others were not his sheep. And that's why we're going to get to Ezekiel eventually. But I've got great news for you, because I'm persuaded verse 16 is talking about those who were not Jews, those outside of Israel. And he says, "I've got other sheep that are not of this flock, but there's going to be one flock and one shepherd." Who's the shepherd?
Christ.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And then he says there's other sheep. They're not of this fold. Other sheep that aren't part of Israel, but they're still going to be my sheep, and they're going to be part of one fold, one flock. God's going to put everybody together. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, a man or a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a barbarian, Scythian, bond or free. Everybody comes to God the same way through faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? And it's the greatest news that he loved us so much, he made a way for us to be saved. So other sheep, when they heard this teaching that Jesus gave, I want to draw your attention to Ezekiel 34. And I just want you to try to think about some of the things that we read, or I tried to point you to in the scriptures. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was what? Moved with compassion on them because they were like sheep having no shepherd, and they were scattered. Do you guys remember that? Okay. And Jesus talked about the fact that I have sheep, and my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So there were some things that Jesus said that would have triggered some things in the mind of a Jew who knew their Bible. And so we were going to come to Ezekiel 34. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to preach a lot this afternoon, but I am going to read several scriptures, and I want you to get this. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field. When they were scattered, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Now stop there for just a second. The Lord is bringing judgment on the people of Israel and on the leaders of Israel, in particular, the priests and the prophets, and those who were supposed to be leading Israel into repentance and turning them back to God. When the people were scattered, when they were spiritually going away from God, it was their job as prophets and priests to go get them and bring them back to the living God. Okay? Now you think about Jeremiah's time, when Jeremiah would stand and declare that God was going to bring judgment to Israel. There were hundreds of other prophets who were just telling the king whatever he wanted to hear. Don't you worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. God's going to take care of you. God would never allow you to fall to your enemies. But Jeremiah would stand and preach the truth and say, no, you have rebelled against God. You've gone away from God. You've gone after false gods. And God's going to bring judgment to you. You need to repent. And so Jeremiah and other men like him would stand and preach the truth. But by and large, the shepherds of Israel had let the flock go. They had let them starve. They fed themselves, but they didn't feed the flock of God. Okay? Everybody with me? That's kind of what was going on. And did you hear the language? They were scattered. And this is exactly what Jesus saw when he showed up to Jerusalem. He saw his people Israel like sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered. You say, what do you mean they were scattered? They were right there. He's standing on the hill looking over Jerusalem. He sees all the people together in one place, but they weren't together. And they were scattered spiritually. They were like lost sheep in the wilderness. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you suppose happens when a sheep leaves the fold and it goes out into the wilderness on its own? What do you suppose is going to happen to that sheep? It's going to die. It's going to die. It has to be with the flock. It has to be with the fold. It has to be under the care and protection of the shepherd, or it cannot survive. And God's people have to be under the care and protection of the shepherd, or we cannot survive. And so he looked and saw, and you see this language, the things that Jesus would say about the sheep. These Jews who heard Jesus this day on the day of, on the Feast of Dedication, when he stood up and he preached to the people and he told them, "My sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow, and I know them and they follow me." When he's talking about sheep and shepherds, there are things that are going to be triggered in their mind as a teacher, as a rabbi, that are going to come to their mind. So remember, he is giving a rebuke to the shepherds of the day who are leading his people away from him. And then we come to verse 11, Ezekiel 34, 11. I should have said this. I told you I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. So I'm not going to do much preaching, but I want to plead with you to study this out more on your own. Go back and read it more, because obviously Ezekiel is rich and there's a lot going on. But we're just going to pull out some of the highlights. Look at this, verse 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." Somebody say amen to that. Why did Jesus come? To seek and to save that which was lost. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture that they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment." Now stop there. There's something that happens a lot in Bible prophecy. Ezekiel is a prophet, and he's telling about things that are going to happen. And so a lot of times there's a dual fulfillment, and I want you to see this. Primarily and immediately, Ezekiel's saying God is scattering Israel among the nations. He's scattering them to Assyria and Babylon, and they are scattered away from Jerusalem. But I'm going to bring you back home. I'm going to bring you from all the countries and all the places where I've sent you. I'm going to bring you back to Israel, and I'm going to take care of you literally, physically in Israel. And God has done that, by the way, continues to do that, bringing Israel back to their place, okay? So that there is an immediate, and that happened after the Babylonian captivity. You guys might remember a king by the name of Cyrus, who was named by God by name like 120 years before he was even born. God said, "I'm going to raise up a king named Cyrus. I'm going to use him to send my people back to Israel. Jerusalem's going to be rebuilt. The temple's going to be rebuilt." And we study about that, right? Nehemiah and Ezra, we see that God did that. But can you also see that it was far more than that? When God says, "I am going to seek out that which is lost," he wasn't just talking about bringing Israel as a nation back to Jerusalem. He's saying, "I am going to come and find, and not just bring Israel as a nation back out of the nations, but I'm going to bring my sheep out of all peoples, out of every tribe and tongue and nation." He was going to gather together his sheep. "I'll bring them out," we read it, verse 13, "out from the people and gather them from the countries." He's saying, "I'm going to bring my sheep together from everywhere in the world. I'm going to feed them. I'm going to take care of them." Verse 16, "I will seek that which was lost." And friends, this is ultimately fulfilled in Christ, who came to seek and to save the lost, who came to bring men into his fold from everywhere. Remember, he said, "I've got sheep that aren't part of this fold. And I'm going to have one fold, I'm going to have one flock, I'm going to have one, there will be one shepherd, and that's Christ the Lord." Okay? Look at verse 16. "I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, strengthen that which was sick, destroy the fat and the strong, and will feed them with judgment." And what did Jesus do? Did he not bind up the broken? Did he not heal the sick? Did he not show his power and his might? We talked about that a little bit this morning. Like Jesus, he had his word and his works. And his word and his works declared that he came from God, and he was from God, and he was God, and he had the power of God to save and to forgive. And then he would speak judgment to those who were false teachers, those who were not the right shepherds, who were not doing what God called them to do. And that's exactly what he did. He fed those scribes and Pharisees and chief priests and elders of the city who did not believe in God, who were not of his fold. He fed them with judgment. He gave them exactly what they needed to hear, and that's what our Savior did. Verse 17, "And as for you, O my flocks, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing to you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which you have trodden with your feet. They drink that which you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." Let me ask you, who is this one shepherd he calls David? Who is it? Is it David? Oh, David's dead and buried. The sepulcher was still there. It's not David, literally. It's the seed of David, the offspring of David, the promised one who would sit on the throne forever and ever. This David, who would be one shepherd over all the flock, is Jesus himself. And he's saying Jesus is coming. Remember, Ezekiel's prophesying several hundred years before Christ would be born in Bethlehem. And God said, it's as good as done. I'm going to raise up a shepherd, one, to rule over my people, and he will feed the flock. He will judge. He will judge between the sheep and the goats. Did you see it? Jesus is that shepherd. And in the day of judgment, he's going to judge. He'll sort out the sheep and the goats. He'll sort out the good fish from the bad fish. He'll sort out the wheat from the tares. He'll take care of that because he is the final judge, and all judgment's been given to the Son. He's going to raise up one shepherd to be over all the flock. And he, look at it, verse 23, "I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them." Listen, guys, we don't only have a shepherd who came to seek and to save that which is lost, a shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep, but we have a shepherd who will feed us, who will provide for us, who will take care of us. These shepherds had fouled the water and the pasture. You know what it's saying? Saying these shepherds that were supposed to be taking care of the flock, they messed everything up. They defiled everything they were supposed to be providing for the sheep. Okay? Sheep are very delicate animals, just like all of us, very delicate people. The sheep have to have clean water. They can't survive on filthy water. They're not like your dog. Your dog could drink anything and not die. Amen? Is anybody... Dogs are nasty. You're more of a cat person. Cats are just... That's another sermon. Dogs are filthy animals. I was at a customer's house the other day, and they had a bag of treats for their dog. And I can't remember what the name... I wish I could remember the name of it. These treats you give your dog to keep your dog from eating its own poop. That's how messed up dogs are, okay? Sheep can't handle dirty water. They can't handle dirty food. They have to have clean pastures. That's why we read in Psalm 23 that he'll lead us beside the green pastures. He'll lead us to the green pastures, lead us beside the still waters, because sheep are very delicate. They need clean things, and that's a picture. There's a reason God does that, because he wants his sheep to have clean and good and what's right and pure. He wants you to feed on the word of God. And to be filled with the Spirit of God, he wants you to take in the good things and reject the bad things. And so he says, I'm going to not only be a shepherd over them, but I'm going to feed them. I'm going to feed them, and I'm going to lead them. I'm going to feed them, and I will be their shepherd. He wants to feed you. He wants to lead you. But we have to hear him and follow him. So verse 25, we'll make with them a covenant of peace. Will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. They shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down into season. There shall be showers of blessing. You guys remember that song? And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. And they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. They shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. They shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. I want you to get this. When Jesus starts talking about having sheep and others who aren't his sheep, all of the Jews that were there thought that they were of the flock of God. They thought that they were his sheep. And Jesus is saying, if you don't hear my voice and follow me, then you are not my sheep. You understand what Jesus was saying? He's telling them that just because you're Israel, just because you say that Abraham is your father, that does not make you part of my flock or my fold. You have to hear my voice, and you have to be known of me, and you have to follow me. And then he goes on to say, listen, I've got sheep that aren't even of this fold. I've got other sheep, and I'm going to make one fold of all people. So then he goes beyond just saying, some of you Jews, some of you Israelites, you're not part of my fold. You're not really the sheep of God. He's saying, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go outside of Israel and call those that are my sheep. So, got great news for you. It can be true of you today. Verses 30 and 31 can be yours. You can know that the Lord God is with you. Do you know today, this afternoon, that God is with you? Do you have any... I mean, do you even have the beginning of a comprehension what a big deal that is? To have a Savior that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you? Do you know how many millions of people on the planet today have no assurance, they have no hope? They don't know if God's with them or not. But you could sit here this afternoon and you could say, I know the Lord is with me. They, even the house of Israel, are my people. Do you know that you belong to God, that you're part of his people? Not because you're a descendant of Abraham, not because you try to follow the law of Moses, but because by faith you've been brought into the family of God. You're his. Not Israel as a nation, but Israel spiritually, circumcised in heart by faith in Jesus. And do you know this afternoon that you're part of his flock, that he feeds you in his pasture, that he provides for you, and that he is your God? I ask you to turn to Psalm 22. We're not... again, going to take the time to study it all out this afternoon, but I want you to get this. In Psalm 22, we read this, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Who said that? Okay, well, you say, well, David said it right there, Psalm 20, it's Psalm. But Jesus said this from the cross. Why? Why would Jesus from the cross say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I don't know that we fully understand it, but we understand in some way that Jesus took on the sin of the whole world. He became sin for us, even though he never sinned. And I believe he said it to point those who were there back to this scripture. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Stop right there. Who said that? Huh? You don't know? At the foot of the cross, those who had had mocked Jesus, those who had scorned Jesus, those railed on Jesus, the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the rulers of the people and the Jews that cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." From the foot of the cross, they said, "Ah, he trusted in God. Let God deliver him, see that he trusted in God." They quoted the scriptures, not even knowing what they were saying. Verse 9, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb, and thou didst make me to hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Jesus was beaten to a point that he didn't even look like a man anymore. He was pierced in his hands and feet, nailed to the cross. He says that he was poured out like water, and his bones were out of joint. Now, I know most of you have studied this out and you have some idea, but when they nailed him to the cross and they hoisted him into place, they would jar those that they crucified to the point that their shoulders would come out of socket. The trauma that Jesus' body endured caused his heart to melt in him like wax. Heart doctors today call this congestive heart failure. It's when fluid builds up around your heart, makes it hard for it to beat. When they went to Jesus and they were going to break the legs of those who were crucified with him so that they would suffocate faster, when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. So one of the soldiers took a spear. Do you remember how they drove the spear in his side and blood and water poured out? You guys get that's exactly what David was writing about? He said, "My heart is melted like wax." It's like wax. It's melted in me. I'm poured out like water. Literally from the inside out, blood and water flowed because of the trauma that Christ went through. And what I'm trying to show you this afternoon is that our good shepherd gave his life for us. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, but he wasn't just a shepherd wandering through the wilderness calling his sheep to come home. He went to the cross to die for you. That's how he sought you out, was by dying on the cross, by suffering for your sin. Even to the detail that they cast lots upon his vesture. Every detail. He is the good shepherd, but is he your shepherd? Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He is the great shepherd who's trying to lead us day by day. He wants us to follow him, and we can. I'm thankful that God took the promise beyond the Jews to the whole world. I'm thankful that Christ didn't just die for the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but Christ came to seek and save all the lost in all the world, that he was lifted up so that he could draw everyone to himself. And I pray that you'll just be reminded with me today of how good our shepherd is. Let's stand together.